This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years, but at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
Did you ever see a snail race against Indy cars? Didn't think so, but you can. Right now through July 19th, when you buy a set of four select Firestone tires, you get a $50 Firestone prepaid MasterCard by mail and four admissions to see the new DreamWorks animation movie, Turbo, opening in theaters July 17th. Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield. Admissions value up to $58. Promotion card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Certain offer restrictions and limitations apply. See your authorized Firestone retailer for details.
First of all, on this Wednesday morning, in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat now trading at 7.09 and a quarter, up a quarter. September wheat trading at 7.17 and three quarter, unchanged. July corn now trading at 6.62 and a quarter, up one and three quarter. September corn trading at 5.79 and a quarter, down four and a half. July soybeans now trading at 15.30, up one and a quarter. August beans trading at 14.53 and three quarter, up one and three quarter. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat ended the day at 7.09. That was up a quarter. September wheat ended at 7.17 and three quarter, down three quarter. December wheat ended at 7.31 and three quarter, down a penny. July corn yesterday ended the day at 6.60 and a half, up four and three quarter. September corn ended at 5.83 and three quarter, down a nickel. December corn ended at 5.53, down seven. July soybeans yesterday ended at 15.28 and three quarter, down three and three quarter. August beans ended at 14.52, down six and a quarter. September beans ended at 13.60 and a quarter, down six and three quarter. July soybean meal yesterday ended the day at 4.52.50, down 19. August meal, 429.40, down 29. September meal, 408.80, down 30. July soybean oil yesterday ended at 48.59, down 7. August oil, 48.56, down 9. September oil ended at 48.41, down a dime. July oats yesterday ended at 381 and 3 quarter, up 2 and a quarter. September oats ended at 372 and a half, down 2. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's grain market report. The Illinois country grain prices did end mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with corn slightly higher and soybeans slightly lower. Corn futures were supported by the forecast for more rainfall for the Corn Belt. Soybean values moved lower as there was a lack of positive news and some weakness in the cash soybean basis. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 cents higher at 6.89 to 7.05. Soybeans were down 3 to 8 cents at 15.19 to 15.39. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 4 to 7 cents stronger at 6.87 to $7 even, while the soybeans dropped 3 cents at 15.42 to 15.63. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 4 to 5 cents, 686 to 709. Soybeans fell 9 to 10, ranging from 1544 to 1579. And the wheat bids were mixed on Tuesday at 687 to 713. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 4 to 6 cents lower at 1577 to 1594. basis ended steady to 2 cents lower, ranging from 48 to 65 over July. Hi-Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $4.84.50 to $4.94.50, which was down $1.90 to $4.90 per ton. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained a nickel at $7.08 to $7.17, with basis steady, a range of from 48 to 57 over July. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 cents higher at $7.04 to $7.06. Basis ended steady, range from 44 to 45 over July. Soybeans down 7 at $15.49 to $15.55, with basis down 3 cents, range from 20 to 26 over July. And the wheat prices on Tuesday ended steady to 4 cents lower at $7.05 to $7.12, with basis steady to 6 cents lower, range from 12 to 5 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids mostly in nickel lower at $7.04 to $7.05. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 3 to 7 cents with quotations at $15.65 to $15.66. Soft red winter wheat down a nickel at $7.28 to $7.29, and the Milo ended 6 cents lower at $6.79 to $6.80. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from $5.19 up to $5.35. New crop soybean bids at $12.75 to $12.91. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from a low of $5.23 to $5.34. New crop soybean bids range from $12.85 to $13.05. And in the southern part of the state, new crop corn bids range from $5.20 up to $5.38. New crop soybean bids at $12.91 to $13.04. That concludes our grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. June hogs ended the day at 96.52, up 70. July hogs ended at 94.75, up $1.20. August hogs ended at 93.90, up $1.10. June cattle yesterday ended at 120.95, up 22. August cattle 120.12, up 65. October cattle 123.45, up 72. August feeder cattle yesterday ended at 145.57, up 115. September feeders 147.55, up $1.05, and October feeders ended at 149.22, up $1.25. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
This is Megan Rothy with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with the afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, barrels and gilts on a carcass basis traded 10 cents lower. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded in a range of $88 to $97, with a weighted average carcass price of $91.13. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows traded a dollar lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 46 to 50. 4 to 5 weights traded at 49 to 53, 5 to 550 at 52 to 54, and over 550 pounds at 55 to 57. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at the country buying points traded $2 higher, with moderate demand and offerings ranging from 64 to 67. Receipts for Illinois hogs have totaled 9,996 head. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded from 124 to 125. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 411 loads. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $95.76, which was 71 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $205.29, which was 88 cents lower, with select carcasses at $184.09, which was $1.35 lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 124,000, compared to 125,000 for last week and 128,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 407,000 compared to 424,000 last week and 406,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is Megan Rothy with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange for butter, $1.54 unchanged. For block cheese, $1.70 3/4 down 2. For barrel cheese, $1.68 5 down 2 1/4. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Monday, the latest day we have, $17.78. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for June, $7.03. For July, $7.06. Corn delivered to Scottville for June, $6.95. For July, $6.98. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for June, $15.43. And for July, $15.31. And wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.95. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $7.03. Corn at Scottville, $6.95. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $15.43. Wheat at Scottville, $6.95. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning. Right now, color radar showing no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
You only get one chance to leave your mark on the land you love. Your farm is your life. The choices you make, the seed you plant, will all affect the legacy you pass down to future generations. So choose a brand with a legacy all their own, FS High Soy. The first proprietary soybean brand, High Soy, has been a part of the land for nearly 50 years, so no one knows the territory better. So grow proud and pass it on. Talk to your local crop specialist at M&M Service Company, powered by Green Plan Solutions. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Cloudy skies later today, a slight chance of a shower, the high about 80 degrees with light and variable winds. Tonight, cloudy skies with showers likely, low temperatures in the low 60s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, cloudy skies, again a chance of a shower, high temperatures in the low 70s. Looking ahead for Friday through Sunday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers on Sunday. Low temperatures in the low 60s, high temperatures in the upper 70s. Right now at the Weather Center, we have partly cloudy skies. The winds are calm. The barometric pressure is steady. Our temperature, 58 degrees. It's 6:21 on this Wednesday morning, part two of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro, by Quality Engine Machine Shop of Litchfield, by Monsanto's Southern Illinois team, and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Hello, this is Jan Thiessen from Quality Engine Machine Shop, Litchfield, Illinois. I'm here to let you know about the services we offer here at our facility. Complete engine block service, cast iron and aluminum heads, crack detection, crankshaft grinding, connecting rods, flywheels, engine disassembly and assembly. With 35 years of engine rebuilding experience, let me put my knowledge to work for you. You may also take your work to any of your local McKay Napa Auto Parts stores and have it brought to us at no extra charge to you. Call me at 217-851-2208.
Asgrow soybeans have hung in there strong year after year. Whether you are switching corn acres to soybeans or just haven't ordered your soybean seed yet, consider Asgrow on your farm this season.
I plant Asgrow AG 3832s.
I plant Asgrow AG 3832s.
I plant Asgrow AG 4232.
I plant Asgrow AG 3832s.
Local Southern Illinois farmers plant Asgrow soybeans.
Contact your local Asgrow dealer today.
In the news this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture issued its weekly crop progress and condition report Monday. Statistician Mark Schleusner has this week's report for the state of Illinois.
More wet weather stalled most field work across Illinois last week. All districts across the state averaged more than 1 inch of rain above normal for the week. Some districts averaged more than 4 inches above normal. The excessive rains have caused flooding and ponding in low-lying areas, and some producers are worried that they will need to replant. Topsoil moisture was rated as 41% adequate and 59% surplus, while subsoil moisture was 1% short, 60% adequate, and 39% surplus. There were only 1.2 days suitable for field work last week. Corn planted inched ahead to 91% complete, compared to 100% last year and 95% for the five-year average. Corn emerged is now at 81%, just 2 points below the 5-year average for the state. And the average height of corn plants across the state is 5 inches compared to 10 inches normally. Soybeans planted are now at 49% complete. That compares to 97% last year and 69% normally. The condition of the corn crop is rated as 10% in the very poor and poor categories, 31% fair, and 59% in the good and excellent categories. For the winter wheat crop, 8% of acres are in the very poor and poor categories, 26% is fair, and 66% of acres are good to excellent. Sorghum planting reached 58% complete. Winter wheat headed is now at 93%, and oats planting is 97% complete. The first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 32% complete, and red clover hay is now 43% cut. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
On Tuesday, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade, and we asked him if the weather is affecting the markets right now.
The answer is yes and no. It depends on the day and on the hour. And particularly on Monday, we saw what was really a lot of chart trading because fund managers really don't understand the agronomics of how a crop grows. They understand rain makes grain, but then they're hearing this, well, we're going to have low crop yields because of excessive rain. That doesn't make sense to them, so then they revert to chart signals and just, well, the charts tell me I should go up right now or go down right now. And on Monday, we saw July corn rally up to 669, which was a significant point of chart resistance, and it couldn't poke through, so they said, okay, must be time to go the other way, so they took it down to the bottom of the trading range. That held. We came back up a little bit. We dropped down a little bit overnight, and we're trading chart signals, but we fundamentally, periodically, will inject some fundamental common sense in there, but this is one reason why it's very difficult to sustain a rally based on excessive rainfall because fund managers simply have trouble grasping the impact.
Well, you'd think they would be able to get a hold of that and understand it, but I guess not.
Well, one of the challenges is the crop progress numbers that come out each week because the USDA asks its surveyors to report the percent of the crop that is going to be planted, what percent of it is planted. So as farmers give up planting, therefore, the target moves closer. So even if you don't plant anything, you move closer to that target of being done. And so we get closer to 100%, and fund managers say, oh, we are getting the crop planted. And I think this was best illustrated in North Dakota over the past week, where it was wet all week long, could not be in the fields, but 12% of the crop got planted, the corn crop. Well, that wasn't 12% that got planted. That was a change in intentions, people giving up on planting the crop.
That would affect the markets, too, like, say, around here, if a farmer was going to plant corn in one field, it got late, it got wet, and they changed his plans and sowed soybeans.
Yeah, exactly right. And as of June 2nd, 1.1 million corn acres in Illinois still had not been planted. How many of those will still get planted? How many will be switched to soybeans? We're starting to see some of that switch happen now. And, of course, what still is planted to corn has lower yield potential. Even the soybeans are looking at lower yield potential. As you know, soybeans are more day-length sensitive than they are heat units, and so you want to get maximum yield, you need to have a complete canopy by the summer solstice, by June 21st, so that the leaves are intercepting 100% of the sunlight that is coming down toward the ground. Well, when you look at the soybean crop overall, 53.2 million acres were still not emerged as of June 2nd. We're not going to be canopied by June 21.
That was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Right now we'll join Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau Radio Network as she tells us about a special announcement from the Illinois pork producers coming soon.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Mike Borjick is with the Illinois Pork Producers. We spoke with Mike recently about the 2013 scholarship winners, soon to be announced by the Illinois Pork Producers Association. Mike, we were just talking about the cost of college and for students. It's great that you have scholarship program and you're ready to soon announce some of those recipients this year.
No, that's correct, Rita. We have a great scholarship program each year. In this office, we actually send out scholarship applications for not only our Illinois Pork Producer Scholarship, but also for the Ryan and Friends Illinois Purebred Swine Council scholarships and the Mid-Illinois Pork Producer Association Adam Fester Scholarship as well. So we actually have three different applications that go out from this office, and so we try to send those out. In grand total, we're talking over $16,000 worth of scholarships that come out of this office. So the Illinois Pork Producer Scholarships is $13,500. The Ryan and Friends Scholarship is $4,500 scholarships for a total of $2,000, and then the Adam Fester Scholarship from Mid-Illinois Pork Producers is $1,000. So we have a lot of scholarship opportunities here from our office each year, and so we're always looking for great applications for those.
And what type of applicants did you see this year?
We saw a wide variety of applicants. We have people that are, you know, big into raising livestock right now. We have people that are not even, you know, not even coming from a farm background. They're going into nursing or, you know, other scholarships like that. The Illinois Pork Producer Scholarship does not require you to have an ag major as part of the scholarship application. But the Ryan and Friends Scholarship and the Adam Fester Scholarship both do have that requirement that you have an ag major. But for the Illinois Pork Producers, you do not need to have an ag major. You just need to have an interest in the pork industry. Our essay on it is a rather simple one, just how do you plan to contribute to the pork industry in the future. And so if you can come up with some great ways to convince our judges that you deserve a scholarship, then we'll sure try to get you one.
You know, you do a lot of exciting things in your position, but I'm sure this has to be one of your favorite, is giving out money.
Oh yeah, that's great. Love having all these students come in. And what I like about it is I get to go through each of the essays. I try to make them as anonymous as possible for our judges so that they don't have any kind of favoritism or knowing the people, things like that. So when I get to go through those scholarships applications, I read the essays, I go through them, and just to hear some of the things that these kids are talking about. Actually, it's amazing, because this is stuff that when I was in high school, I didn't really care too much about. And these kids are talking about it in such great eloquency and everything else. It's just amazing how good of writers these kids are. I know I wasn't that good when I was in high school.
Actually, some new and fresh ideas, and really gives you some optimism, hope for the future of the industry.
Exactly. I mean, we got some great people coming up, you know, through high school and college, and so we're really looking forward to the future for the pork industry.
And as you said, you are just getting ready to award this year, but it's never too late to check it out and kind of think about what you're going to apply for next year, so they can go to your website for details.
Yes, our website, ilpork.com, has details about our scholarships on there. The deadline is going to be April 1st each year. So usually about the first part of February, right around the time of our Illinois Pork Expo, actually, I try to have the scholarship applications available, so they get about 2 months in there to be able to go through there and get their applications. Like I said, the applications are fairly simple. They're not that complicated, so it shouldn't take them that long to come up with a good application.
Mike Borjick with the Illinois Pork Producers. Anyone who would like additional details about the IPPA Scholarship Program, head to ilpork.com. Reporting for WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Thank you, Rita. New trade negotiations with one of the world's biggest economies could lead to good things for U.S. agriculture and the nation's economy overall. American Farm Bureau trade specialist Dave Samuelson discusses the possibilities in this report from the American Farm Bureau Federation's Jana Miller.
Japan is the second biggest economy in Asia and one of the United States' biggest trading partners. So the opportunity to open up more trade during the upcoming Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations could mean huge opportunities for U.S. agriculture and the overall economy.
Japan's entry into the negotiations next month is huge, because now you've got a big economic player in the region as part of this discussion. Certainly the Trans-Pacific Partnership negotiations and the countries that have become involved, especially over the last year with Canada and Mexico joining, Japan almost in, shows the importance and the growth of that region as a place for U.S. agriculture. Almost 50% of all of our ag exports are going into the Asia-Pacific region.
A lot of that goes to China, which is our biggest agricultural market. There's buzz that now that Japan will be part of the TPP negotiations, China is considering joining as well. In the meantime, there's a lot of focus on what Japan's participation offers. Japan imports almost $14 billion worth of U.S. agricultural goods, despite rigid restrictions on many imports.
There is certainly opportunity for growth for U.S. ag exports in a variety of areas. But they have an agricultural system that has protected their farmers through high tariffs and other barriers. We've had trouble getting products in because of both tariff and non-tariff barriers, such as rice, dairy products. There are a lot of opportunity for fruit and vegetable producers. We've got 125 million people in a developed country. They spend a lot of money on food, and they're looking for quality products.
And more agricultural exports means more U.S. jobs.
The more product that you're moving adds jobs at processing level, adds jobs at the ports level. Just the sheer movement of the good involved in the transportation system adds jobs. The sheer ability and need to process a lot of what U.S. produces into final products, whether it's in meatpacking, fruit and vegetable processing, those are more jobs there.
Jonna Miller, Washington.
In other news, on this Wednesday morning, a farmer and a former grain company manager have admitted to charges in connection with a $14 million fraud scheme. Farmer Robert Prince of Fairbury pleaded guilty to wire fraud and money laundering. Former Towanda Grain Company manager Timothy Burma of Lincoln pleaded guilty to wire fraud. The pleas were part of an agreement with prosecutors Friday. The men were to go to trial on the 17th. The two are accused of working together to defraud the Towanda Grain Company, Prince creditors, and others. Both are to be sentenced on October 16th. Prince faces up to 40 years in prison. Burma faces up to 30 years. Fines are possible of up to $1 million. A final vote on the Senate Farm Bill could come as early as Thursday, but is more likely next Monday. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid filed a cloture on Senate Bill 954 late Tuesday evening, with a cloture vote set for 10 o'clock Eastern Time Thursday morning. If the 60-vote threshold is met, a vote on final passage would be held on Monday. While the Senate is not in session today, the deadline for filing amendments is at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. The deadline for second-degree amendments is at 9:45 Thursday morning. The Senate is expected to go out of session following the cloture vote on the Farm Bill and cloture votes on student loan bills. Earlier in the day on Tuesday, Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow suggested a final Farm Bill vote could be held Thursday if agreement on amendments could be reached, but that did not appear probable late on Tuesday. The House Ag Appropriations Subcommittee is set to mark up the fiscal year 2014 agriculture spending bill this morning. The bill was released Tuesday. The proposed legislation totals $19.5 billion in discretionary funding, $1.3 billion below the fiscal year 2013 enacted level, approximately equal to the current level used by automatic sequestration spending cuts, and $516 million less than the president's request. The bill does not provide the money the Commodity Futures Trading Commission wants to implement the Dodd-Frank financial reform law, and rejects the president's proposal to change the way food aid is provided. The sudden and widespread appearance of a swine virus deadly to young pigs, one never before seen in North America, is raising questions about the biosecurity shield designed to protect the U.S. food supply. The swine-only virus, the porcine epidemic diarrhea virus, poses no danger to humans or other animals, and the meat from infected pigs is safe to eat. Though previously seen in parts of Asia and Europe, the virus has spread into five leading hog-raising states. How it arrived in the U.S. is a mystery. Japan said on Monday it would hold back shipments of some wheat imports as Monsanto Company continued an investigation into an unapproved genetically modified wheat strain at an Oregon farm. Monsanto said it is conducting its own probe into the discovery, and said it ended the trials of the genetically modified wheat in 2005 and never sold it commercially. Its internal analysis suggests that the wheat likely did not come from seed left in the soil or from pollen drifting from other fields. And as we close on this Wednesday morning, once again in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, July wheat is now trading at 7.09 unchanged. September wheat trading at 717 and a half, down a quarter. July corn trading at 662 and a quarter, up 1 3/4. September corn trading at 579 and a half, down 4 1/4. July soybeans now trading at 1530, up 1 1/4. August beans trading at 1453 1/4, up 1 1/4. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Reporting, I'm Randy Prangy.